Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim, sitting in for Bernard Lim. Now, Asia's asset servicing faces a multitude of challenges and opportunities in the upcoming months, but its advancements in technology will also help it see improvements in harmonization and deliver additional services to clients. And while the world may look like a place that's been fundamentally altered by the impact of the COVID-19 virus outbreak, let's take a look at some of the themes that are likely to dominate. Today, we're speaking with Caroline Higgins, Head of Global Fund Services for Asia at Northern Trust, to get her insights. Caroline, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're keeping safe wherever you are.
Oh, good afternoon, Hallie, and yes, keeping safe. Thank you.
Happy to have you with us. Help us out, though, with an overview of fund administration and custodial services here in Singapore and Southeast Asia, first up.
Well, as you know, I mean, Singapore's been a long-standing leader in the APAC region. Its robust framework, attractive environment for managers, strong regulations and a great talent pool has attracted over 900 fund managers to Singapore. And also it's a hub for private wealth and family offices, and that continues to grow. As markets mature and develop, though, in Southeast Asia, markets like Indonesia and Thailand, they also continue to attract attention, in particular from the large global managers. So the region's really diverse in terms of its needs and maturity, which drive the type of services required. But in general, we still see the needs from asset owners and asset managers around custody, fund administration, middle office, performance, reporting, and also more recently around more solutions that support the front office, so foreign exchange, brokerage and trade execution. At Northern Trust, we're servicing over 165 clients from within the region across both global managers and asset owners.
How has, though, the asset servicing industry been responding to changes? How have the changes actually impacted how you're doing what you're doing?
Well, I think for all of us, you know, health and safety of our workforce and our clients has been our key focus over the last couple of months. And most organisations, we've all had to establish or use our established procedures, policies, etc., social distancing. So we've had majority of our partners here in the Asian region actually working from home. And we've also seen a very large uptake in the use of technology to not just support our external client communication, but around our internal communication. So going to a lot more Skype video conferencing so that we can keep that face-to-face communication occurring. It's a very important part of our industry.
Also, more asset owners, I understand, and asset managers outsource that middle office functions to reduce cost and increase efficiency. What other trends do you see gaining momentum in Asia, and why do you think that is?
Well, I think in particular, the current situation is really going to accelerate, you know, some of these trends to outsource. I think two key areas have been a focus. One's really been around fee pressure that whether you're an asset owner or an asset manager, you've been experiencing over the last couple of years. So even though the markets have been strong, the pressure on fees have continued. And I also think now operational resiliency will become front and center when managers and asset owners really need to report to their boards, their investors, their shareholders. So again, we continue to see, or we do see the trend will be around looking to outsource middle office, some of these more front office solutions. And again, Asian managers and asset owners, they're going to have to grow their alpha and their returns, and they'll need to probably do this outside their own home jurisdictions or their own expertise. So to do that, they'll need to partner with organizations that have global expertise and can help them navigate markets and regulations that they're not familiar with, and they don't have people on the ground in Europe or in the US.
Caroline, before we address that with regard to talent, I just want to be clear that pressure on fees means to lower it?
To lower the expenses and the fees and to give more return or alpha back to the underlying investors.
I imagine, though, talent would help in this regard, or in the regard of being able to navigate, say, international clients and cross-border type businesses. But many firms were already planning to slim their workforces before the crisis got underway. What sort of impact will coronavirus have on the funds industry with regard to thinning labour?
I think, again, it's a good question. I do think the uptake of technology will play a key role in how we all take our businesses forward. And so, you know, at Northern Trust, we're using a lot of the AI and robotics. But again, we see this as supplementing our human capital, not a replacement for it. So again, I think most organisations, their goal will be on reducing that dredge work and then having people who can focus more on difficult or interesting tasks, you know, bringing more of the value in particular to clients. So while there's many things we can automate within our industry, I don't think there's any shortage of work that that humans will need to do. Mm. And definitely for service providers like Northern Trust, our ability to provide outsourced services that support operations globally, I think will be a key factor when we're speaking to clients and potential clients over the coming months.
But Caroline, the AI era is still in its infancy as well, especially in the asset servicing world. How far do you think you can go to sort of help with the mundane and the menial, if you will?
You're right, it's at its infancy stages and a long way to go. But definitely, we're seeing a lot of automation in areas that were historically quite labour-intensive, such as filiation work. So again, by deploying robotics or AI, it will be on a phased approach. And, you know, you are looking at then releasing or freeing up that human capacity so that we can again focus on the more value-added for the client. So we do see this as medium to long term.
If job scopes evolve, Caroline, will this mean that this might generate more job opportunities for human beings?
I think it will always in our industry. Again, I don't think there'll be any shortage of work that requires all of us to do. You know, over time, there will be new or different jobs that become created, and we will have technical expertise around how to handle this type of technology, how to deal with data. So they will be skills that continue to evolve, but we'll always need people from a client-facing perspective, understanding regulations, deploying new products and services to clients. So I think our roles are already evolving along that path, but definitely over time it will create, and it is creating now, a new focus, in particular around data science and the handling of data. That will become a key service in the future.
So you are seeing people in the asset servicing industry getting their people to be more skilled in these areas, getting them to go for training and upping their skill level.
Absolutely. I mean, we all need to be more tech savvy, and we need to understand what that means to our business now and in the future.
We're speaking with Caroline Higgins, Head of Global Fund Services for Asia at Northern Trust. Caroline, despite widespread focus on the importance of diversity, the share of women running U.S. funds overseeing trillions of dollars has slid over the past two decades, according to a Morningstar analysis released in March. Why aren't more women holding top positions in the asset management industry in particular?
Yeah, I think it's really important that organizations foster and support a diverse and inclusive workforce, which includes gender. You know, we need to look at this from many angles, but we're focusing on three key areas, or we have been focusing on those: recruitment, internal initiatives, and then, you know, the external community or that engagement. So like many organizations, we've really had to look at how we recruit. And so we've mandated diverse slates, as we call them, to ensure for senior positions that we're actually accessing the widest possible talent pool. And, you know, we've also implemented training for all hiring managers around unconscious bias to ensure that we're getting that diversity and inclusion. Within our organization, many organizations, we've got developed and focused networks. We have one that's focused on women in leadership, and we have that throughout the region, and a group focused in Singapore. And then also, too, we're also looking at other elements that make for how do working parents balance that ever challenge of work versus their home life. Mm. So we're undergoing a complete review of our parental leave offerings, which, you know, we're looking to release in the next couple of months. And externally, we really need to stay connected with other organisations who are also focused on inclusion and diversity. They don't always have to be from financial services, but taking some of that best practice and then how can we learn from others and bring those back into, you know, the organisation? So really for us, it's more a holistic approach, you know, focusing on all those different aspects of diversity and inclusion. But definitely we need to focus on, you know, the recruitment and then the development and the retention within our organisation.
What might else be the big focus for 2020 in this particular sector, Caroline?
Well, I think in general in financial services, I know I've said it before, but I think operational resiliency, how do we keep businesses growing, developing, will be a key focus. Many of our clients, and we've already engaged in many of those conversations over the last month, but as clients come out of this period, they'll really need to be looking forward. So I think we'll have a point where we'll take a step back and say, how do we really work? How do we define our models? And how do we, you know, move forward? So we do see a trend towards more of the outsourcing, but I think operational resiliency will be a word that we'll hear more and more and more throughout 2020.
Caroline, in your personal opinion, what might that new reality look like?
You know, as employers, I think all of us have to realise that, you know, with work from home, we'll have many employees who feel more comfortable now with some work from home arrangements. So I think we've always been open to flexible working arrangements. How do we work? How do people balance work life? So I think, again, in 2020 and forward, as managers, we'll need to think about how we work with our employees and how do we build those frameworks around enabling more flexible working arrangements.
Because, of course, we can't forget the ones who do actually thrive in the workplace environment versus the ones who also thrive in a home environment.
Yes, it's a balance. You're absolutely right. Some people are, you know, their roles as well allow them to be more independent and more individual contributors.
Yep.
Others is more part of a team. So as we look forward, it's not a one-size-fits-all. We do need to look at the jobs, the environment, but I think in general we will see more employees asking for more flexible work arrangements, and as organisations we need to have those ability to support that and then also be able to maintain and run our businesses in parallel.
Of course. Thanks so much to Caroline Higgins, Head of Global Fund Services for Asia at Northern Trust. Caroline, thanks for your time and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.